Okay, we've all been there, right? You find that amazing article, maybe some crucial research, or, that perfect video explainer.
Yeah, the one that finally makes something click.
Exactly. And you quickly save the link, telling yourself, oh, I'll definitely come back to this.
But later often means it gets lost in a sea of bookmarks.
Or worse, you click the link and bam, 404 error, or the site's just gone.
It's like losing a book you can't replace. This whole problem of link rot and just information overload, it's huge.
It really is.
Yeah.
Our best online finds can be so temporary, living on servers we have zero control over. It feels
Yeah,
fragile,
definitely fragile.
which is why we need something like a personal, digital time capsule for the knowledge we gather online.
And that's precisely what we're diving into today.
Yeah, our sources are pointing us towards Redek. It's a simple web app, and the idea is to help you save the story, cut the clutter,
Yeah.
basically build a permanent library for your stuff. And this deep dive, it's really tailored for beginners. We want to give you a really clear, easy introduction to what Redek is all about.
Sounds good.
But first, just a quick mention of our supporter, SafeServer. They handle the hosting for this software and can help you with your digital transformation. You can find out more at www.safeserver.de.
Okay, so what I find really fascinating about Redek is how it thinks differently. It's not just saving a web address.
Right.
It combines this like simplicity with a really strong promise about archiving the content. It's like bookmarking grew up and became a permanent library.
Okay, let's unpack that. What is Redek, fundamentally? Our sources say it's simple. A web application acts like a bookmark manager, but also a read later tool.
Yeah, the core idea is keeping stuff accessible, whether you need it in an hour, tomorrow, or even like 20 years from now. That's the big promise.
And it's not just text articles, right?
No, exactly. It calls everything a bookmark, but it's smart about it. When you save something, it figures out if it's an article, an image, or even a video. Ah, okay. So it grabs what's needed to actually keep that piece of information usable.
Precisely. It adapts the process.
So, okay, I start saving stuff. How do I stop Redek from just becoming another messy digital drawer? Like my browser bookmarks, but worse.
Right. Good question. That's where the organization tools come in. They really encourage you to curate your world, as they put it. You got the basics, mark stuff as favorite, or move it to the archive when you're done reading but want to keep it forever.
Standard stuff.
Yeah, but the real power, I think, is in the labels. You can slap on as many labels as you need, get really granular with your categories.
Okay, labels are familiar, but using them well is the trick.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you can see the focus in their updates. Like version 0.20 was all about helping you create your own content hub.
Ah, so leaning into that personal knowledge management idea, not just dumping links.
Exactly. It's about making it your curated space. Okay, now let's get into the more advanced stuff. This sounds like where Redek goes beyond just storing links and becomes more like an active tool for learning, especially for,
Yeah.
the listener who wants to pull information together quickly.
Yeah, this is where it gets really interesting, I think. Saving is step one, but making that saved stuff actually useful is step two.
Right.
So first, there's highlighting. You can highlight key bits in any text you've saved. Pretty standard, right? But the cool part is you can then browse and search across all your highlights from all your saved stuff.
Oh, wow. Okay, so you're not just highlighting within one article. You're creating this cross-article collection of key points.
Exactly. It's like building your own condensed study guide from everything you've saved. Changes how you review things completely.
That is powerful. Instead of rereading 10 articles, you just scan the main takeaways you already marked.
Precisely.
What about videos? They're packed with info, but so hard to search or take notes on efficiently.
Right. So Redek has this video transcripts feature. It's pretty unique. If you save a video link, and if a transcript is available from the source.
Like YouTube captions.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Redek grabs that transcript text,
And
and
then.
then once it's saved in your Redek, that transcript becomes just like an article. You can read it, search it, export it, even highlight parts of it.
That's fantastic for research. Okay, quick question though. Does getting that transcript rely on some external service all the time? Or is it private once saved? Privacy is a big theme here.
Great question. And yes, it hits on that privacy promise. Getting the transcript initially means Redek has to fetch it from, say, YouTube.
Okay.
But once that text is pulled into your Redek instance, it's yours. It's local. All your searching, highlighting, reading, that's all happening privately within your own setup. No more calls back to the source for that transcript.
Okay, that clarifies the privacy aspect. Good. Now, convenience. Getting stuff in easily, and maybe more importantly, getting it out if I need it offline.
For getting content in, the browser extension is probably the main way. Works with Firefox, Chrome. One click while you're browsing saves the page.
Nice and simple.
And crucially, the extension can sometimes save pages that Redek might struggle to access directly from its server, so it helps capture more.
And getting knowledge out, making it portable.
Open standards are key here. You can export any single article as an ebook file, EPB format. Works on pretty much any e-reader or app.
Okay, useful for offline reading.
But here's the really neat part. You can export a whole collection as a single ebook.
Wait, really? So if I label 10 articles on, say, quantum computing basics, I can bundle them into one ebook.
Exactly. You essentially create your own custom textbook or reader on any topic, pulled directly from the web content you saved.
That's actually pretty brilliant.
And for people with dedicated e-readers, there's also OPDS support. Basically, Redek can act like a library catalog that some e-readers can connect to directly.
So I could browse my Redek collections right on my Kindle or Kobo screen.
If the e-reader supports OPDS, yes. It makes Redek feel less like a separate app and more like part of your reading ecosystem.
Very cool. Okay, so we have all this content, maybe thousands of items, highlighted, collected. Finding stuff needs to be powerful.
And it is. Full text search covers everything. Vague phrases you kind of remember, specific labels, stuff from a certain website, even the text inside those video transcripts we mentioned.
Comprehensive search is essential as the library grows.
Definitely. And building on that, you have dynamic collections. These aren't just static folders.
What do you mean dynamic?
Think of them as saved searches that automatically update. For example, you could create a collection for all articles saved in the last month labeled Project X that I haven't read yet.
Ah, I see. So it's like a smart filter that's always current.
Exactly. And because the whole system is built to be lightweight, running these dynamic searches is really fast. It doesn't bog things down.
That's clever. It keeps relevant stuff surfaced without me having to manually sort all the time. And what about just reading the experience itself?
You get adjustments for that. Customize the font, text size, line height, the usual comfort settings, and it remembers your preferences.
Good. Essential for long reads. Okay, we've covered a lot of features, the power, the convenience, but let's circle back to the big so what, the trust factor. Why should you trust Redek to hold your knowledge long term? The web breaks all the time.
It really does. And that's the core problem Redek tackles. Archival permanence and privacy. Ask yourself, will that article you love still be online next year? In 10 years? Maybe, maybe not. I personally lost a fantastic analysis piece once just because the blog it was on went dark. Gone.
Ugh, that's exactly the pain point. So how does Redek provide that true archival? How does it make the content immune to disappearing?
When you save a link, Redek doesn't just save the address. It grabs the full text and any images right then and there and stores them inside your Redek instance.
So it copies the content locally, basically.
Exactly. The moment you save it, that content is decoupled from the original website. It becomes your permanent asset, safe from link rot, paywalls changing, or even censorship.
And that ties directly into the privacy guarantee, right?
Absolutely. Because the content is local, your reading activity stays local too. With the specific exception of fetching video transcripts initially or using external players for videos.
Right.
Once something is saved, Redek makes zero requests from your browser back to any external site related to that content. What you read, what you highlight, it's all contained on your server, totally private.
Okay, that's a strong guarantee. Now, for listeners curious about the tech side, but let's keep it simple, what makes this setup robust? How does it resist just becoming outdated?
The key is how it stores the archived content. It uses the humble ZIP file. Think of ZIP as this universal digital container. It's been around forever. Everyone can open it.
Like a PDF almost, in terms of longevity?
Kind of, yeah. Each saved bookmark, once fully processed, gets packed into its own single immutable ZIP file. Immutable meaning it doesn't change. Inside that ZIP is the clean HTML content and the images.
So the idea is, even if Redek itself vanished in 20 years, you could still take that ZIP file, open it on any computer, and get the raw content back.
Precisely. It's designed to be future-proof, independent of Redek itself. And the whole application stack is deliberately simple. It's written in Go, known for being fast and having few external needs. It uses SchoolLight for the database, which is super reliable and self-contained.
And importantly, it's not one of those super complex web apps.
Right. It avoids being a heavy single-page application with tons of JavaScript dependencies that break or go out of date constantly. The simpler server-rendered approach is faster and way more stable over the long haul.
That makes sense. Simple, proven tech often lasts longer. Okay, let's wrap up with the open source aspect. Why is the license important here?
It's licensed under the GRNU Afro General Public License V3.0, the AGPL. What that means for you, the user, is basically a guarantee of freedom and control.
How so?
Because Redek is something you interact with over a network, even if just locally, the AGPL ensures that the source code must always be available. Even if the original creators walk away, the community can always take the code, fix it, update it, keep it running.
So my 20-year archive isn't dependent on one company or person sticking around. The community can ensure its survival.
Exactly. It's the ultimate guarantee for long-term viability and user freedom. Your knowledge archive remains yours.
Okay, so summing it all up.
Yeah, Redek is really about giving you back control over your digital memory, taking those temporary web pages and turning them into permanent searchable knowledge assets you actually own, stored safely in those robust little ZIP files.
So if you're feeling overwhelmed by digital clutter, if you've ever felt that sting of a broken link to something important, Redek offers this clear, fast, private way to build and actually keep your personal knowledge library.
It really aims to solve that core problem.
And we want to thank our supporter, SafeServer, again. They handle hosting for software like this and support your digital transformation journey. You can find more info at www.safeserver.de.
You know, thinking about this permanent archival idea raises a really interesting question for you, the listener, to mull over.
Hmm.
If you could absolutely guarantee that one piece of saved digital content, just one thing, would exist forever, exactly as it is now, safe and accessible for the next generation, what single piece of knowledge would you choose to preserve? Maybe something that really shifted your perspective.